Last week we talked in length about the teacher role, and I would like to recap that by saying that that role is about 2 years of a young Christian. Amen. Now, teaching never ends. It's something we keep learning. We keep learning from different situations, life. So you cannot say that after 2 years I'm not learning. The truth be told is that you learn until you get to heaven. I think in heaven it'll be a different world. I don't know how it's going to be there, but we're going to have a good time, okay? But for purposes of how our relationships work, then you transition. If we don't transition from the teaching role, we create a system where people cannot volunteer their best. It's a place of just survival. So we need to transition to this role. Now, this role of consultant role is you need to be able to take your walk with God seriously. Every individual. In other words, it's not upon the person that you have or one another relationship that comes telling you, you need to do well spiritually. No, you decide, I want to be right with God. I want to connect with God. I want to do well with God. And so you start taking initiative for yourself. Does that make sense? Amen. So if that's the case, so that's why I say it's the role we take after 2 years of teaching. Individuals take ownership of their walk with God. That's so crucial about you taking ownership for your walk with God. It is something you think about, you plan about your future, you plan about your quiet times, you plan about your prayer times, you plan about fasting, meditating, all the things that we do spiritually, reaching out, the things that we do just to connect with God. Does that make sense? That you take that charge and make that your responsibility. Okay, hold on. Now, if you don't take that responsibility, something happens. I'm back to the Johari window. You remember what we used, those of us who are here? The reason you take that charge is because as you live your life, you're getting feedback, and sometimes you're asking for it, and your blind spots keep receding so that you keep growing. Does that make sense? If this blind spot keeps growing, then you basically diminish. Something is going wrong in your character, in your life, and as a person, you're not going the right direction. So we want you to be able to take that conviction to want to grow. You're seeking input, you're growing, and that blind area continues to recede. You get feedback, some people just talk to you, your kids. Life has a way of revealing you and showing who you are as you deal with it. That's part of why in the consulting role we are all talking about, here's what I'm working on, here's what I want to grow in. This is the known part, so you're trying to grow that part. The unknown part is self-disclosure, exposure. This grows also a lot during that time because you talked to that person, you know one another. And I hope you're building your three friendships. I hope we're still working on that, right? Did we try last time? Did we check with our friends? How many were your friends, the ones you said they're my friends? How many of us got 3 out of 3? Oh, you got 3 out of 3. Wow. 3 out of 3. Okay, so we got some winners in the place. So go find out how they're doing that. The point that you got to have your friends going, does that make sense? If you don't have any friends, start by inviting someone to your house. Tell them, come on over, let's have something together, all right? Anyway, moving forward. So in the consultant level, you talk a lot. So the hidden areas start coming up. But this can't work if you're not friends because there's fear. There's fear. Remember what we talked about, fear? That fear pulls you back, and that can keep you in this area. So if you're talking, you're growing. This is growing. This is the unknown. There's stuff about you that you don't know that you can do until certain circumstances happen to you. The unknown can be there, and some things will be revealed in time. So shared discovery sometimes, other observations and self-discovery, and different things will come up. But overall, you take that role to keep growing in the consultant area. Amen? This is a place where, as Christians, we need to aspire to have Christ formed in us.
Amen. That's good.
That's the whole goal. You want Christ formed in you. So you cannot settle and think, I'm fine. It's not a good thing. It actually begins to kill you spiritually. So it's very important that you grow. Amen? I find that if I'm open to that, and then if I'm looking around, just circumstances, different things, even this should teach me on, oh my goodness, I need to grow in this area, I need to grow in that area. And as I pay attention to that, I study the Bible. And that's what helps you to grow. So the idea that I don't want to be known is actually to kill your life. And let me tell you something. If you're growing spiritually, it affects your profession. It affects your academic. You grow in every aspect, every field. If you shrink spiritually, you start shrinking in other places as well. So be careful about holding back your spiritual growth. You may be holding back a blessing from God. Okay, let's move on. Let's get in the scriptures. This consultant aspect is personal responsibility. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Since we have these promises, you can read the whole chapter, and chapter 6, 2 Corinthians, you'll see the promises coming down. And then it says, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body. You see, there's a lot that is, if you think about what contaminates us, there's so much out there right now. You can get contaminated by what you see. The stuff that is just streaming, whether it's video, whether it's what, that can contaminate your brain, your feelings, everything. I mean, music can contaminate your spirit altogether. The stuff that is flying into your eyes. I mean, we live at a time when we really have to guard our heart as the wellspring of life. Stuff that people may say to you can just contaminate your mood. So you have to fight for it. And here it says, we have to, dear friends, I like the terminology, dear friends, at the consultant level, we're friends. So the reason people get away from one another, relationships or friendship or discipling, as it was called back then, is we don't have friendships. That is the bottom line. You don't have friendships. You have church mates, but you don't have friendships. We go, you have Bible talk friends, or we go to the same Bible talk, but are you friends? Do you feel safe? How vulnerable are you? That is the reason that one another doesn't connect. And I'm saying, you can choose from your family group, this person can help me. You can choose, you don't have to wait for someone to allocate that for you to happen. You can start making that choice. Does that make sense? That I want to have a one another connection with this person. It will help me grow. That will transform your life. So it says, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit. Those two are very important, our body and spirit. Is there stuff that has contaminated you to the point where you've given up? And the only scripture you quote is, God's grace is sufficient. I have no quarrel about that. But it's not sufficient for us to stay in sin. It's sufficient for us to overcome sin. Does that make sense? So when you're getting stuck, it's because you have nowhere to talk. Some of us think, I can overcome this by willing it over. I'll just will myself out of sin. God put people in your life so that they can help you, nurse you, overcome sin. Even when Jesus was struggling, he had to talk. He says, the spirit is willing, but my body is weak. He was talking to his brothers. You need that. You need that. We live in a time when a lot of people are so lonely, yet we're 7 billion people on earth. But because we now operate with our machines and more independence, you can drive on your own, you can talk to someone on mail, you can leave a voice message, you don't have to even hear their voice. You can be very lonely. All that is good stuff, but you need to connect. You need to connect. God wants us connecting with him first and then this way. When that happens, change happens in our hearts, healing happens in our lives, we begin to transform. Amen? So don't be afraid to talk about what is holding you down. That is what makes you feel like a hypocrite or feel like I'm not doing well as a Christian. Yet the grace of God allows us to talk about that so that we can come out, get help, and be different. And sometimes we've been socialized to think that if you admit a problem, that means you're weak. That's strong. Anyone can hide. Anyone can hide. It takes somebody that's strong in faith to admit that I need help. Does that make sense? That's why we need one another relationships that are really meaningful in our family groups. In our family groups, and we can choose that, make that happen. Then we'll see how that it changes the dynamics. So just watch out on the stuff that is contaminating you and get help. And you can do that if you're connecting with God and one another. Okay, notes here. What are some of the things you're supposed to take charge of? Your quiet times. You need to take charge of your quiet times. What is quiet time? Let's break it down. It's the time you wake up, hopefully in the morning, and you have some time to read your Bible. Ideally, get in this habit of waking up. We're different. Some people wake up, take a shower, get into the Bible. Others wake up, get into the Bible, get into the shower. If you do that every day, others, different dynamics. Everybody has a different dynamics. All I'm saying to you is that it's the thing you do when you're still, when the day is very early in the morning. Mark talks about that. Jesus rose up, 35, to go and pray, right? So you wake up to pray. I know there's Olympic. Maybe you're watching until midnight. Watch out that you don't miss out on the Olympic of heaven. But my point is this, is that you wake up in the morning, you read a Bible. You may say, well, what do you read? Well, that's the point. Question, how are you feeling? Let's start there. How are you feeling? You may be feeling anxious. Can we study out anxiety? What does the Bible say about that? You may be feeling tired. Let's study that out. Probably that's what you need to study out to figure how. What does God say about this, about me? When you know what's going on, you start a journey that you do. And you don't have to be in a hurry to finish. Study out, meditate, and let's start to implement what's going on. That's the quiet time. Quiet time is not, hey, I got up, I read the book of, I just read this, and I ticked off reading, but I can't remember what I did this morning. And no change is happening in my life. That's not a quiet time. We've got to get in that and say, what is God teaching me? I'm not here to guilt you. I'm here to empower you. Start tomorrow if you've not been doing it. Start tonight if you can. Get there and study. Then pray. What's prayer? It's simply pouring your heart out before God. You don't need to be saying, Father God, when you actually need to say, I am tired this morning. And I want to talk to you about X, Y, Z in Jesus' name. We got to be real before God.
Amen.
Society teaches us to behave one way so much that we can't even be real in private. It's just you and God. Why can't you be yourself? You really can. That's quiet time. Take charge of that if you want to get to the consultant level. Does that make sense? So you're studying stuff like that. Sometimes you're just getting knowledge. It's okay. That's all quiet time. Devotion to fellowship. When is the last time you went on fellowship? This is a question for everyone. It's not for the singles only. Okay. Date for the fellow single people. When's the last time you had a date? Campus, singles, marrieds. They were devoted to fellowship, right? Were they? Acts chapter 2. When is the last time you had someone come to your house for fellowship? If you're a married person, when is the last time you hosted anyone? If you're single, when is the last time you did that? The idea about date and fellowship is so convoluted out there in the world that we no longer enjoy just sincere one man to another woman, free, without any connection, relationships. We struggle with it. We almost feel this urge to say something. You don't have to say anything. You just need to have a good time and share about what's going on in life. You see, this is what we must fight for. To change a culture that might go totally forget this aspect. And yet it's so important. When you miss out on this aspect, life becomes less and less meaningful and purposeful. And you feel alone a lot because you don't have fellowship, meaningful fellowship. So you fill your life with business and you come on to a tune of this world, a tune in this world that is so busy that it deafens you from hearing God. Because you're busy for the rest of your life. You're busy running from X, Y, Z. You're always running and you fill your empty space with just running. Slow down and connect with people. Slow down and connect with people. It doesn't take away from you, it builds. Prayer. What about prayer? Do that. Take charge of that. Take time to pray. Please don't microwave your prayers. We need to have a meaningful prayer walk with God. Here's what... if you are not having a meaningful walk with God, the most likely place to start is, are you in touch with yourself and are you in touch with God? Because prayer is connecting with God. It takes emotion sometimes. And a lot of people are afraid of emotion. I waited because you thought I'll rush through this one. I ain't rushing through prayer. People ask me, so why should I, how long should I pray? I say, it depends with your connection with God. That's how long you should pray. I'm not going to tell you 10 hours, your connection with God. You're looking for a quick fix, I don't have it. Start tonight and say, God, what's in your heart? And start enjoying talking to God. Enjoy it. You can sit down with a cup of tea or coffee, whatever it is. I'm not sure you can sit down with ice cream and talk to him. I don't know if that'll work, but let's see what happens. But we need to connect with God. Be creative about that. Take a walk and pray with and talk to God as you walk, take a walk. Find different things. Pray with a buddy. Pray with your wife. Pray with a friend. There are many things we can do together. Breaking of bread in each other's homes. I already touched that earlier. We're going to do that. Amen. They were devoted to that. So when we say that you're moving away from teaching to consulting level, that means the individuals are taking charge of this aspect of their spiritual life, and it grows and it's different. We're not here to police you. We're here to encourage you to get to heaven. Amen. I'm not here to put you down to police you. No, I'm trying to get as many as we can get to heaven. That's all we're going to do. So enjoy this journey together, amen? But if you don't deal with feelings and stuff like that, you just get tired being a Christian. And you just get, because you're not using the facilities that God put in place. Okay, here we go. Second, submit to one another. Ephesians 5:21. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Ephesians 5:21, the message. Out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. It's a one another relationship. If you don't get it right, it can become such a tedious thing where it's who is on top of who? Who is on top of what? And that just that is control. That is not a one another relationship. It's not who's on top of who. It's how we connect with God. What's going on? What can we talk about? How can we grow? Oh, okay, we're good. We don't have to always talk about how can we grow. We can also talk about what God is doing in our lives. And we can also talk about just general stuff. Sometimes you may just talk about Olympics. That's all right. But make sure you don't forget God altogether. Does that make sense? So every day you may have a spiritual insight. Some days you just have a good time. But submit to one another. That's the spirit you want to do when you're coming together. The relationship is respectful. The one another relationship needs to be respectful. Respect people, their time, each other, whatever. And that respect is one word that means different things to all of us here. If I said respect to Art, what is respect to you? One word for you. Thinking about it? Oh, he was with me. I took him too far from it. Anyway, he's focused this way. So, and I was trying to play with, I mean, basically, if I asked you, what is respect to anyone with an answer for that?
Eye contact.
Honor.
Pay attention.
Eye contact.
High contact.
Eye contact. Eye contact. Eye contact.
Listening.
So it's different from one person to another. Understand that? Okay, understand that. It's very different from one person to another. Don't assume that because it is English, it means the same thing to you. It's English, but it means different things to different people. Mature, no need to keep scores. In other words, I don't need to keep scores with Peter. How many times has he corrected me? How many times will I correct him? It's not keeping scores. So three threes. Peter, he's saying three twos. We don't have to keep scores. It's not about keeping scores. That's not about it. It's just having a good time together. It's not keeping scores. How come? It's not keeping scores, okay? Focus on being godly. That's the key thing. Focus on being godly. Sometimes I'm ungodly inside my heart, and I say, well, how did I get like that? I need to repent of that. Focusing on being godly is not the outside. It's the inside. We tend to think, but outside I look okay. No. How is your inside? Fix that, and the outside will be okay. Don't worry about the outside. Fix the inside ungodly stuff. You'll be fine. That's what we have to focus on. And so when we talk about this, it's focus on being godly. There are many aspects of being godly. It can be your attitude. It can be your mindset. It can be the way you treat people. There are many things about being godly, whether it's about finances, whether it's about dating or fellowship, how you treat your spouse, how you treat your children. There are many facets of being godly. Does that make sense? And we can take any that is relevant to you, and you can grow in that area. It'll be amazing when you take that responsibility. Don't be overwhelmed. Take one thing and try to work on that over months, over weeks, and you see what happens, and you move on. It's a journey. Have fun with it. Be creative in what God is trying to do in your life. Just be creative. We're not racing with each other. We're all trying on the same team trying to get to heaven. Does that make sense? So how do we deal with sin? That's all the question. So we're in this consultant setup. How do we deal with sin? Somebody's sin. How do we deal with that? Galatians 6:1. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. So how do we deal with sin? Dear brothers who are believers, you need to be gentle and humble. Sometimes you can tell somebody about their sin in such a way that it's no longer about God, it's all about you. And we have to be careful about that. You have to be gentle. You know, there are many scriptures in Proverbs and Psalms that talk about a gentle spirit, gentle word, a gentle answer. So how do you have it's seen by the tone of your voice. It's seen by many things as you deal with these things. Does that make sense? You see, in my life, I've made many mistakes. And one of the mistakes I made was how I dealt with people that were caught in sins that I thought in my life, this is not acceptable in God's church. And I think that I had dealt with four disciples in a very strong, I think it's an underestimation to say strong, it was harsh. And maybe about 7 years later, after me doing these things, an epiphany hit me. And I said to myself, oh my goodness, I owe these guys an apology. So I called them up. And I called four of them. And I got a lot of forgiveness. Only one guy listened to me, and after he finished, says, okay. And he put the phone down. Everybody else says, come, let's go, let's have a cup of tea, let's do something. It was a turning point for me because it makes it harder for people to come to God when they're already so convicted and they're wanting to talk. And then you, on top of that, you guilt them, shame them, and make them look so dirty. Let's focus on the scriptures. Let's focus them on the cross. Let's focus on returning them. The ministry of reconciliation. That's what we do. So, I'm not talking about this as a perfect person. I've made enough mistakes myself. So, I share with you and I ask that we don't go that route or that route because it really can be destructive to the healthy body of Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll make mistakes though. We will make mistakes. That I can guarantee you that, because nobody is Jesus here. We are not perfect. So if that happens, we know where to go back. Amen. We'll make mistakes. So dear brothers and sisters, gently and humbly, make it about God, not about you. Don't go off. How can you? You've been a Christian this long. This is beneath you. Don't go there. Talk about what the Bible calls them to do. Don't make this personal. It's about them and God. Am I making sense now? So if we do that, that's how you deal then with sin. Then people are willing to talk. So here's what's happening. People fall into sin. They cannot talk because they're afraid of being attacked. And the devil keeps winning. And the church whittles down and begins to die. Why is it dying? Because there's no place to talk and get healing and repent. There's rationalization and people feeling heavy. And then the sin just keeps sitting. And sedimentation takes place, which is hardening of the heart. But when people talk, they lighten up and they repent. And God, the Bible talks about this, the blood of Jesus continues to wipe their sins away. And they grow and they're different. Why? And they feel like, I can be me here. This is a place I can grow. Does that make sense? Well, one person agreed with me. Anyway, the rest are paying attention. That's what's happening. Okay. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation. How do you fall into the same temptation? Sometimes someone comes to confess a sin. Then you go into the business of, so where were you sitting? How did it happen? So who did what? Really? You need to know all that detail? Do you really need to know that? To help someone repent? You got to be careful about the questions you're asking. Are they going to help repentance, or are they helping your curiosity? You don't need curiosity. You may be tempted. What site was it? What was the name? How did you Google? Oh, watch out. You don't need to know that stuff because you're getting tempted now. Gently and humbly restore them. Restoration can be a process, and a process takes time. Because you may talk about something and pray about that and something is changing. Other things are there and done. It's done with. But sometimes it's a process. People, different things need to gradually pray about it. They'll get there. Things are coming together. Does that make sense? After all, we're all getting restored to Christ. We're changing. We're transforming. It takes time. But that is why one another relationships don't work when people are not taking their own initiative, their own responsibility on how to grow. And a lot of us are afraid of that because of one abuse that happened back in the 90s. We are a different place. I'm calling us to what I see the Bible is. We're not trying to do church according to Steve or according to the elders. We're trying to do church as close to the Bible as we see it. It's not about us. It's not about the elders. It's not about the staff. It's not about the leaders. It's about how close is the Bible. What does the Bible describe this thing to be like? It's about God. When it's about God, then you say, okay, hold on. I'll gently restore this person to God. Be careful not to fall into the same sin. That happens when you start figuring out what happened. Some people say, I like to know, it will help me. Well, be careful about it. Hebrews 3:12. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Some of us see people in sin and we look the other way. We give them a name. They're like, that's who they are. But you know it's not being godly. They're not being godly. And you lack the courage to stand up and say, we got to talk about this. Because you lack the courage. The body of Christ suffers. Not for lack of the truth. For lack of a brother or a sister that loves them more than themselves. That love God more than self-preservation. And so the body of Christ begins to look more like the world. And less like the kingdom of God. We must learn to talk to one another. I'm not talking about shouting in people's faces. I'm not talking. We've got to find the right time, the right place, and bring it out properly. Does that make sense? So I'm not talking about this gung-ho approach. I'm going to tell him anyway. I'm talking about praying about your words, praying about wisdom, how you're going to bring it about, that you want to bring healing, growth. That's what you want to bring. So if you're looking the other way, this message is for you. Please say something. Encourage them to do something right. If it's someone who's studying the Bible, reach out to them and help them to know God. Help them to be to come to God. Don't look the other way. Reach out to them. Let's reach out to one another. Let's help each other. If it's a couple, it's a spouse that you see that it's not going right, reach out to them. Touch them with the word of God, with the friendship, and see what happens. It's not upon us to change people. God changes people. So don't feel that burden. You work on yourself, but reach out to them. Talk to them about the word of God. Pray. It's not for you to turn people around. God does that job, but you got to say something. Study the Bible. Pray with them. So how do you do that? Make it safe. How do you make a place safe? How do you make a relationship safe? Any ideas? Start with yourself.
Don't point the finger.
What? Build trust. That's a big one. If the trust is not there, you can be sure you'll be fighting before you even start. Yes, Joe?
Be vulnerable.
Be vulnerable yourself. Yes, Tommy?
Listen.
Oh, you better listen. Listen is not agreeing or disagreeing. Neither is it judging. It's just listening. Do we understand that? It's just listening. You're not agreeing or disagreeing or judging. You're just listening. You're there to hear the story. What's going on here? Yes, sir.
Show that you care.
Yes.
Love them.
Patience, kindness, no records of wrongs. Yes. Preserve people's confidence. That I told you this in confidence. Keep that thing in confidence. Get help. If you want to get help, you better check with him that I might need to get help. Because I can't seem to help you on this one. All right? Anybody else? Yes, Harold.
Sorry.
Harold first.
Don't overreact.
Yes, sir.
Be optimistic.
So don't overreact. Optimistic. Have faith. It'll change. Yes.
Follow up with the person.
Follow up. Not policing. Follow up. It's different. Follow up is, hey, Peter, how is it going, man? Oh, I'm good. How's everything as far as we talked last time? Oh, it's going great. Policing is, have you read? You're right there. They can literally not move. Yes.
Sometimes you need to be silent.
Yeah, sometimes it's okay to be silent and just pray. That's awesome. Anything else? You know, there are things that I changed in my character because my wife prayed for me. Each time she brought it up, we argued like nobody's business. It just go up and up and up and up, and the voices would start slowly, but they'll go, and it's just... And we'll keep quiet for maybe an hour and then start talking and act like everything was fine. And she just started praying and a lot of things changed. Because sometimes the person is, remember that Johari's window? They're blind. They don't see it at all. So prayer works. If you've not been praying, you've been losing out on the power of prayer. People, get down on your knees. Let's start praying. Amen. Things will turn around. Amen? Amen? So make it safe. Make it safe. All that is safety. If you didn't get a chance to put in your word, I hope we can get another day. All right. Okay. Don't gossip. Can I be categorical here? Don't gossip even with your husband or your wife. Because when it's all said and done, we're one body. Gossip is negative. You may talk on a positive level. Here's what I'm learning. Here's what I'm going through. That's different. But gossip is when you're still going negative. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? You're painting something negative. Don't go there. But you can talk with your spouse generally what you're going through, what's happening, in a positive way. But when you gossip, you go very negative about it. So somebody talks here, let it end there. Help the person. You know, when I grew up, gossip was a bad word. Now there's gossip on MTV, gossip on whatever channels. I'm like, what? How can that be normal? Hollywood gossip, what? Are we going to talk about it on national TV? No, I don't think so. Some just really think about that and say, how am I treating that? Okay? No matter what happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. Let's end here. No matter what happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. In the consultant relationship, because it's neither here, that we got to really fight to be godly no matter what happens. Amen? God bless you.